Just in case you are interested to know, I play ping pong on Wednesday at church at 2 p.m. So if you have time, you can join us. There was a group of people playing here every Wednesday. In case you're wondering why I'm standing here, Pastor Irene was scheduled to be your speaker today, but she joined Gabriel's retreat, so I am standing in her place. Today we are looking at a dialogue between some Jews and John the Baptist. Some Jews sent by the Jewish leader in Jerusalem and come to John the Baptist and ask him, "Who are you?" One of the most common questions you often have to answer. In fact, this question, actually, if you think about it, is one of the most profound questions you can answer. Yesterday, I was watching some YouTube video, and it was about interviews, being interviewed. And one of the most common questions nowadays, if you go for interview, is they will ask you for 3 words to describe yourself. So that was quite an interesting video that I saw yesterday. So some of the Jews came and asked John, "Who are you?" Let's imagine that we put this question to some celebrities today, and just let's imagine how they would answer it. Obviously, I don't know the answer, but I'm making a guess. So suppose the first one we interview is Donald Trump. "Who are you?" Imagine how he would answer it. I'm a really rich man, and I want to be the next president of the United States. Let's try another person. Usain Bolt, the Jamaican sprinter. He would probably answer you, "I am the fastest man on earth." And then let's imagine that we ask another one, Michael Phelps. "I'm the greatest Olympian. Incredible with the amount of medals he got. The last one we're going to interview or ask is Muhammad Ali. And I'm sure you all know his answer. I'm the greatest. Who are you?" Think about how you're going to answer that question. Who are you? The interesting, and I think none of us would imagine John the Baptist's answer is, "I am not." Suppose you ask me, "Archie, who are you?" And I answer you and say, "I'm not Justin Bieber. I'm not Joe Biden. I'm not Albert Einstein." It's strange, isn't it? Start with "I am not" rather than "who I am." The reason, if you understand, if we go back to a little bit of background to the story, is that the Jews were expecting some people, and they were wondering whether John the Baptist was one of these people. So if you if we look at this slide, they were expecting the Messiah, Elijah, and the prophet. Now, I'm sure that you all know the Messiah and the Elijah. And who is this, the prophet? This prophet is actually the one that appears in Deuteronomy 18, when God promised to send a prophet like Moses. So all these three people are, in the Old Testament, the Jews knew that these people are coming, are going to appear in history. So they were wondering whether John the Baptist was any of these people. And if you read the other gospel, you come to realize that Jesus actually identified John the Baptist with Elijah, right? You remember that? And yet, John the Baptist said, no, I am not. It's interesting, isn't it? And what John the Baptist ultimately answered them is because he denied himself to be Elijah, is because if you answer yes, the Jews are likely to follow up with another question. prove yourself. If you remember that some of the Jews came to Jesus and asked him to show a sign from heaven to prove that he's the Messiah, right? So if you want to avoid that, you don't mention that you are the Messiah or the Elijah, because they will press you with another question. And because of this, you can see that this is no chit-chat. This is no friendly exchange. Who are you? Tell me a bit about yourself. No, this is a deadly serious conversation or dialogue. They were, in a sense, a bit like interrogating John the Baptist, because they were sent by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. So when the Jews pressed John the Baptist, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? What authority? Who gave you that authority to baptize, to do all these things that you are doing in Jordan? So this is a very serious exchange between the Jews and John the Baptist. And John's answer is actually quite interesting. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." I am the one, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. So if you see what I've been describing, John actually has an option of saying whether he was Elijah or this other passage from Isaiah to reply. And he chose this passage very wisely because he wanted to avoid being pressed and persecuted by the Jews. Having to be forced by the Jews to prove that he was Elijah. And if you read Jesus' words about John the Baptist, you come to realize that this verse is talking about John the Baptist as a person sent by God in the wilderness. And the wilderness is not in the word of Jesus, this is not a place of glory, a place of honor. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. John does not claim himself to be a big shot. He claimed himself to be a voice calling in the wilderness, a voice, someone sent by God to proclaim a message, and not the great Elijah prophet. The Apostle John put it this way. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. If you read this passage, you will come to see that John was a man with a mission. Just now we imagine what some people would say. what Donald Trump would say, what Michael Phelps would say, Usain Bolt would say, Muhammad Ali would say. They would say, they would give you their greatest credential, right? This is who I am. I'm the greatest. I'm the fastest. I'm the richest. All of us have, the people of the world have an agenda, a personal agenda that they want to achieve something. But what in John the Baptist's case, he tells us he has a mission. I want to ask you, do you have an agenda, a personal agenda in the world that you want to achieve? Or do you know that you have a mission from God that you want to fulfill? Both are completely different way of looking at the world and ourselves. One of the most profound questions that you can answer, who am I? Who are you? You want to spend your life achieving your agenda, or you want to use your life to fulfill God's mission in your life? Those are two profound different ways of life. Paul is another person that have a sense of mission in life. I am going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me. I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. As Christians, we really ought to know that our lives on earth is not an accident. God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a vision for you living on earth. Do you know that? What mission God has sent you to earth for? How God planned to use your life? And is your personal agenda in line with that mission? If not, you're fighting against God. You're wasting God's plan and purpose in your life. You all remember the prophet Jeremiah? He has a secretary, Baruch. At one time, God spoke through Jeremiah to Baruch and said, "Should you then seek great things for yourselves? Do not seek them. Should you then seek great things for yourself?" This is our personal agendas. This is the agendas of all the people in the world. Donald Trump wants to be the richest, want to be the president of the United States. Muhammad Ali wants to be the greatest boxer in the world. What is your agenda? What personal agenda do you have? And is that in line with God's creation of you and gift of life to you in this world? Michael Griffiths has a very interesting book. I really like the title of his book, Give Up Your Small Ambitions. Give up your small ambitions, your small personal agenda, that you want to achieve this, you want to achieve that. You want to live your life like this. You want to live your life like that. At one time, Jesus' disciples argued among themselves. Who was the greatest? A little bit like Muhammad Ali, right? I am the greatest. At one time, I went to, years ago now, I went to the States to teach a class, teach the Bible, and I happened to be, and one of my students took me to Trinity Western university. And I was working among the offices in the faculty, and I saw a couple of posters, small postcards, really interesting postcards, and I took a photo of it. The first one, it has this message. History is crowded with men who would be gods. History is crowded with men who would be gods. You can see various people, Hitler, and Alexander, Stalin, Chairman Mao. History is full, crowded with men who would be gods. That's what the world and their personal agendas are. And then there's another poster, very interesting, side by side. But only one God who would be man. I think these two cards show us the complete different worldview that the world has and the Bible presents to us. Which path do you want to choose? You want to choose a path of the crowded men who will be gods, or do you choose the other path? The world tells us you are nobody unless you are pretty, handsome, rich, strong, smart, funny, talented, musical, creative, original, born to a rich and famous family, like Donald Trump. Well, this is what the world is telling us, right? Every day, on online, radio, television. Madonna has a song called Material Girl, right? Don't know if you know, some of you may. One of the lines says, they can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light. That's right, that's right. Because the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. And if that's the case, then Donald Trump is the Mr. Right. But this is the world we live in, a material world. The world continues to tell us you are somebody, even a VIP, if you are CEO, manager, banker, scientist, engineer, supermodel, accountant, doctor, dentist, etc. But if you're not, then you are probably a nobody. How should Christian respond to that question? Is this the kind of value that we live by? Is this the life we want to be part of? I hope all of us will answer this way. I am not following the way of the world. I'm following the way of God. I am a child of God, an image of God, loved and cherished by God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a VIP in God's eye, and I have a great future ahead of me. We need to let go and we need to resist the voice of the world. And we need to take in and drink from the voice of God in the Bible. We are not nobody. We are the children of God. First Peter 2:9 said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are not a nobody. You are precious in the eyes of God. You are a chosen people from all the ends of the earth, from all the nations of the world. You have been called to be God's special possession. A royal priesthood. Another Bible version recorded a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This should be your identity. This should be your mission. Our mission is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Give up your small ambition. Enroll in the kingdom of God. Be his ambassadors. Proclaim and declare his praises. When you experience darkness to light, proclaim it, share it. Tell your friends his wonderful light. In this PowerPoint, you notice Prince William and Kate Middleton, the royal family, right? Wrong. You are the royal family. They are only the royal family of the United Kingdom. But you are the royal family of God. Think of yourself that way. Immerse yourself with that idea. Imagine, think, reflect. You and I are the family of God, the true royal family. We are a royal priesthood. We are a royal family. Think how the royals should behave, how we should live out the kingdom of God. When you go to school, when you go to work tomorrow, think of yourself. You are part of the royal family. You need to live out your royalty. And that is, of course, to do with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the culture of the kingdom of God, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Live that out in your school and in your office, because that's the kingdom of God. So, how should people look at us? So we are the kingdom of God, the real royal family. So when people look at us, we should be seen as God's friend, like Abraham. We should be like David, a man after God's own heart. We should describe ourselves as the disciple whom Jesus loved. We should think of ourselves as a servant of Christ Jesus. And finally, as Paul exhorts Timothy, we need to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. We should give up our small ambitions. We should become the person that God called us to be. His faithful, beloved child. And we should live out the kingdom of God wherever we are. In conclusion, who are you? Are you still the old man in Adam, seeing yourself in worldly terms, looking to get your human achievement, engineer, accountant, doctor, dentist? Or are you the new man in Christ, seeing yourself in biblical and divine terms, as a son and daughter of God, the disciple of Jesus, faithful steward in God's household, good soldier of Christ Jesus, and a royal priesthood? Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the conversation, the dialogue between some Jews and John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist answered their question. Through it, we can see how John the Baptist see his own person and his life. Here is a man with a mission, just like Jesus Christ, just like the Apostle Paul. Help us to reject the way of the world, always chasing after some personal agenda, some human achievement to enhance our identity. Help us to realize our dignity in being your children, the honor and glory you have bestowed on all of us, to realize that we are a royal priesthood. We are the true royal family. Help us to live out your kingdom in the world. When we go to school tomorrow, go to work, to realize the honor and the grace that you have bestowed upon us, the blessing we enjoy, and help us to share that blessing as you called Abraham and all his descendants to share that blessing from Christ. Transform our thinking, transform our hearts, transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.